Tonight is Monday night, April 8th. This is the Gemara Shir. We are up to Moed Katan, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Okay. So I actually prepared the source sheet before yesterday's Yankee game. Otherwise, it would have been Sanchez with three home runs. But it was after Shabbos' game. So I have Judge with two homers and Frazier with a home run. That's fine. So we're on Daf Yud Ches Omer Aleph. Tonight's shir is completely about nail cutting and some of the outlandish, proofs that are used from this Gemara to address a variety of questions, and the resolution is based on this Gemara, a comment that the Gemara will make. So we are in the So we'll start again. It's pretty much in the middle of the page. Amarab Shman Baraba. Reviewing this because this is critical. Have a ka'imna kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. I was in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, Bei Midrasha, who was in the Beis Medrash, Becholo Shomoed, Vishaklinhu Litufre Beshine, and he removed his nails with his teeth, Vizarkinu. And he spit them on the floor. Shmamina Tlas. We can derive three things. And I think this is like a pattern. There are so many times in the Gemara when an episode is quoted, and you can learn three things from it. Shmamina Tlas. I don't remember any other number that the Gemara ever uses whenever it wants to derive things from a particular episode. Shma mina tlas. One, shma mina mutar litol tzipornayim b'chalosh moed. You're allowed to cut your nails on chalosh moed. Ushma mina ein bohem mishumius. And we also can learn that there is nothing revolting about cutting your nails in public and just chucking them. Nothing wrong with that.
But this isn't public. This was in a shul.
I know. That's public. That's a public. I know. So that's a good question. Good question. We'll see. And also, it's not considered revolting based on the fact that he cut his nails with his teeth. That act itself is not revolting. Ushma mina mutal zorkan. And we learned from here as well that once you clip your nails, no matter how, you can just chuck them. Just chuck them. Yes, the Gemara, Eini. That's not true. For Hatanya, we learned in a brisa, Shlosha dvarim ne'emru b'tziparnayim. Three things have been stated about nails. Hakovron tzaddik. Somebody who buries clipped nails, you're a tzaddik. Sorfon chassid. If you burn them, not only are you a tzaddik, you're a chassid also. Zorkan, you're a Russia. If you just flip them on the floor, you're a Russia. So how can the Gemara learn from Rav Yochanan's episode of flipping his nails in the Beis Medrash that you're allowed to flip your nails casually? If there is another brisa that says, if you just flip your nails, you are a Russia. At the very least, what you have to do is bury them. The best thing would be is to burn them. So how can the Gemara learn that from Rabbi Yochanan? Says the Gemara, Taima mai, why is it that you are obligated to bury them, or preferably to burn them? Shema ta'avor alein isha ubra vitapil isha. The well-known story, it's quoted right here in the Gemara, that perhaps a pregnant woman will come across these nails, and she'll be so revolted by the sight of these nails that she will lose her child. Tapil bina. So whatever it is, why did Rabbi Yochanan do this? Answers the Gemara, Bei Midrasha lo shchicha. Women are not found in the Beis Medrash. So what's there to worry about? So if women are not found in the Beis Medrash, there's not, Rabbi Yochanan felt there's nothing wrong with, and this phrase is going to be used, as I said, by a modern posef who was asked a variety of questions, and he keeps coming back to this Gemara: women are not found in the Beis Medrash. We'll see in a couple of minutes.
Doesn't say he can't go to this.
They're not found. I know. We'll see how he uses it. We'll see how he loses it. Asks the Gemara, v'chitema, if should you say zimnin demichneshi lahu, somebody will take a little broom perhaps and gather them together, v'shadi lahu evroim. And then, where is he going to spill the gathered nails? Outside. Bara means outside. Outside the Beis Medrash. And you can't claim that, what? Women don't pass by a Beis Medrash. That would be ludicrous. So why did Rabbi Yochanan go ahead and tear his nails if there is that concern? Answers to Gemara, Kavon, de ishtini, once you move its location, it has no effect on anybody. Once you move location, it's got no deleterious effect. So, as long as the women don't come into the Beis Medrash, they're not going to lose their baby. But if they take the nails, gather them, chuck them outside, nothing to worry about. Hoel v'ishtini, ishtini. That's what the Gemara says. So, So, Rashi, let's now see what's going on here. Rashi says that, Rashi, about a third of the way down, Ein bohem mishum mi'us, says, Midishaka le bishine. The revolting type of thing, which could have been described as ma'us, revolting, is by virtue of the fact that he ripped his nails by cutting them with his teeth. That's what Rashi says. However, if you do you have the Rim Mi Paris writes, the Ma'us item was that he clipped them in the Beis Medrash. That was the Ma'us thing. That's what I would have thought is Ma'us. Says the Braisa, Ein Bar Mishum Mius. I would have thought, had Rabbi Yochanan not bitten his nails in the Beis Medrash, that it's an inappropriate activity in the Beis Medrash. However, the mere fact that he did it is an indication that Rabbi Yochanan was not concerned about mi'us. That's a second interpretation. And it's very similar to a Gemara in Maseches Chagiga. So if you take the handout, Tafei Amir Aleph in the Chagiga. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. V'chi eskol ma'asei Elohim. The pasuk says, V'chi eskol ma'asei Elohim yavo b'mishpat al kol ne'elam. A person will be brought to judgment in the presence of God for all of the hidden things that he did. That's what the pasuk says. Asks the Gemara, my al kol ne'elam. What does it mean, hidden things? Answers Amar Rav, Zehahoreg kina bifnei chaveroi v'nimaspa. Somebody who killed a louse and in front of his friend, and his friend said, "Oh, that's disgusting." So when you cause somebody to feel disgusting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hold you accountable for that as well. That was Rav's interpretation. Shmuel Omar, ze horok bifnei chaveiro v'nimas. This is somebody who spits in front of somebody and he gets taken back, what he's spitting at me for. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do so. So I could have thought that biting your nails in a Beis Medrash, or just biting your nails, if somebody feels that that's disgusting that you bite your nails, I'm sure many of your mothers used to tell you that's not nice. It's disgusting to bite your nails in public, and shouldn't do it in private either. So why? Because if you do things which cause people to feel revolted and disgusted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can and will hold you accountable for those actions.
Yeah. I would thought that's disgusting food. Just that.
What? Mm-hmm. Well, nobody expects you to keep them in your mouth.
But no, right.
It's obviously going to spit it out. Of course.
That's why you shouldn't do it, because you'd have to spit it out.
That's correct. Well, if you wouldn't spit it out, nobody would notice it. It's only v'chaveiro nim asba, so you have to spit it out.
The meals part is the biting, not the spitting.
Okay.
That's the implication.
Yes, from the Gemara, that's the implication.
But
yes.
Shouldn't this also apply when we were talking about looking like a menuhel before Yantif or whatever, that people around you will see you and say, "Ooh, look at how unkempt and disheveled, unbathed." Couldn't this apply similarly?
Maybe he cut his nails because he didn't want to look disheveled. That's why Rabbi Yochanan may have done so. We'll assume that he clipped his nails on Erev Yontif, and by Chol HaMoed it was growing back already. He didn't think it looked nice. Yeah. If you go to page 99b, the Ran will explain. Was anybody here guilty of leaving the Met schedule on my shtender? Somebody left four Met schedules from last year, 2018, on my shtender for Shabbos. Anybody here guilty of that? What?
Bad year for them.
Yeah. So the Ran is going to explain the Braisa, which said that there are three different categories. Somebody who buries the nails, that's the tzaddik. Somebody who burns, that's the chassid. And somebody who just flips them, that's the rasha. So the Ran says, Sor von chassid, v'nikra chassid, al sha'ose lifnim mishur sadin. The halacha is that you don't have to burn them. But as long as they're out of sight, it's no problem. So why is it that it is of a higher category if you go ahead and burn them? Because if you just bury them, there is a possibility that somebody might dig them up again and dig up the earth, and then those nails will become visible.
But then why not the principle of ishtene, if that's the case?
No, because it's still in the location. Ishtene is the location. So I... They dropped here, I buried them right where I dropped them. Then somebody kicked the ground up and, you know, and then they found more nails. But if you burn it, there's nothing, there's no possibility of it becoming exposed again. The Yesh Nefarshim and others have a different explanation why burning is better than kover. Mishum hachi nikra chasid, v'af al gav diyodeya disreifas tziparnav mazik le legufe. Burning your nails is a painful activity. Afilu hachi sorfa. Nonetheless, although it's a painful activity, you choose to burn it. Why? Shelo yihu ba'olam nishol. So that it'll never wind up to be a stumbling block in front of a pregnant woman. Now, why would you say that it's a painful activity? So some explain the Ran because it grew from your body. The nails were attached to you. And when you take something that was attached to you and you're burning it, even though it doesn't hurt, but nonetheless, psychologically...
So's your hair.
Good. So who said that it wouldn't apply to burning hair? If there was burning hair, would be an issue. If there was a halacha that hair, loose hair, would cause some type of reaction, then the halacha would say the same thing. And this actually difference between kvura and sreifa has interesting applications in relationship to isurei hanah. There are certain isurei hanah which are nikbarin, and other isurei hanah are nisrafin. So, take for example isurei hanah. If you have, if you burn kachin, so the ashes, you're not permitted to derive benefit from the ashes. All you have to do is what? Is bury it. Afron nikbarin, the famous Gemara in Temura. But if somebody dug it up and used it, he doesn't violate the Isur Hanah anymore because Nasis Mitzvasan. The mitzvah was to burn, so I burnt it, and that's it. But where you have Isurei Hanah, like Orla, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to burn it. And the same logic is, why are you supposed to burn Isurei Hanah? Because if you just bury it, yes, temporarily, ain't nobody going to be using it. But if it should be discovered again, it is possible that somebody will violate the Isurei Hanah. Hence, the halacha demands that you burn it to preclude somebody from using it in inappropriate fashion.
What example is there? Is there another nixbarin? Is there any other
where the halach is that you have to be nikbar? Well, I just gave you one. If you have the afar of the nisra, anything nosar,
but it has to be burnt first.
Yes. But now the ashes are the what's Asur Bahanah now.
Oh, okay.
But they don't have to be, they have to be burnt. They don't have to be destroyed any further.
Is there anything that needs to be buried at home?
The ashes are Asur Bahanah, so what do you do with the ashes?
You burn them. You bury them.
You bury the ashes there.
Yes.
Because at some point you can't.
Yes.
So Truma itself you couldn't bury, you have to burn it.
Truma you have to
burn.
You have to burn and derive benefit.
While
you burn it.
So is anything you bury whole, anything like that?
There should be something. I have to just. I don't have offhand.
Things that we put in Geniza, is that issue of Anah or just issue of an appropriate?
No, it's an appropriate burial. Okay. It's not Asur Bahanah.
Okay.
Yeah. Except for a mace, who's Asur Bahanah.
I'm sorry, what is Asur Bahanah?
A deceased body is Asur Bahanah. So the. That's his difference between Sorfan and Zorkan. Okay. Now, if you will go for a second to page 77A. There is a tshuva which asks the following question. Don't get all upset. Naflu tziparnayim litoch tavshil ma hadin hatavshil. If somebody was cooking or baking, and while they were standing over the pot, they clipped their nails and it fell into the pot.
So if you burn the food, you're a...
She'ela. Listen to this. Tziparnayim shenaflu toch hakdeira shel tavshil bihiyosa rosachas al ha'esh ve'achar kein chipsu achrehem umotzum v'zorkum. It's not that I allowed the soup to cook together with the nails. I found those nails and I removed it. The question is, im hatavshil nim'as bekach, does the tavshil become mo'us me'achar shehirsichu hatziparnayim b'socha v'yesh bozeh mishum bal tishatzu. So there is a pasuk at the end of Parsha Shmini. It says v'lo sisatzu es nafsho seichem. Don't engage in any type of an activity which is an abomination. Shekets, abomination. So the pasuk al pipshat means don't engage in an activity by consuming anything which the Torah has said shekets heim lachem. The Torah lists certain little creeps, little buggies, which are shekets heim lachem. So that's what it really means. However, Chazal understood, v'lo sishatzu es nafsho seichem, you're not supposed to do things which people use the word sheketz in a more colloquial thing. So would be dropping nails into a pot, even though you remove the nails, since it was over a eish rosachas, would we say that the tam, if there is any tam in nails, I don't know, or is it simply disgusting to eat something in which nails were cooking? So he bring. Why do I bring this tshuva? Because he brings our Gemara to resolve it. Tshuva. Isa v'gemara demoed katan daf yudches amar Rab Shmon baraba heva ke'imna kamei de Rab Yochanan be'migrasha b'cholo shomoed v'shaklinhu l'tufrei b'shinei v'zarkinu. The Gemara said, from this episode, Shema Mina Tlas. Shema Mina Mutu Litovat Sopranayim B'chol Shomoe. Shema Mina Ein Behem Shemiyos. Ayin Shom. V'im Kein Hashta L'fum Dina L'madnu De'ein Behem Mishumiyos. Simply, now, listen to what he says. That the mere fact that Rabbi Yochanan took his nails and flicked them in the Beis Medrash, that indicates that nails, by definition, are not davar ma'us. And hence, if they wound up in your pot, and you remove them, it's nishkeferach. Nishkeferach. Tell me why you might want to disagree with his interpretation.
Roasted nails are different.
No, no. Based on what the Gemara thought the concern, we gave two interpretations of the concern about Rabbi Yochanan, which have nothing to do with this case. What were the, no, that's why you shouldn't throw them on the floor. But what we learned from Rabbi Yochanan is that it's not Moses. Why would I have thought that what Rabbi Yochanan did was Moses? One, because he cut them with his teeth. The story in his tshuva doesn't necessarily say that the nails got in there how? By cutting them with my teeth. Two, the possibility of saying why it would have been ma'os, because he was in the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara says, cutting with your teeth is not ma'os, flipping them in the Beis Medrash is not ma'os. What's the kind of this situation? This situation is not in the Beis Medrash, not necessarily with teeth. It's the mere fact he's applying the word Ein Bohem Mius, meaning that nails per se are not a davar ma'os. So therefore, no one has a right to say, this is disgusting, and now consider the possibility of violating Al Tishaktsu es Nafsho Sechem. So based on the two interpretations of what was running through our mind to consider it Asur of Rabbi Yochanan's activity, that would have no application whatsoever. The mere fact that he quotes this Gemara, so he believes that there is a different possibility. That nails itself, cutting nail, loose nails itself, would have been considered a davar malz. Since the Gemara says ein bohem mishum miyus, therefore I now rule that the soup is okay. Miyu, like the Mishnah Berurah, uses this phrase hundreds of times. Bal nefesh lo yochal tavshil zeh. The Mishnah Berurah uses this when in the 2-3 times that he decides to be maker. And he says, you know what? Halacha is that it's okay, but a Baal Nefesh, Yachmir Atzmai, should not do it. So he used the same expression. He shouldn't eat it. Why? Ki me'acha deruach ro'a shore aleyen tov lizaher. Now that that since nails have this evil spirit hovering upon them, it would be better not to eat this soup, despite the fact that despite that you removed the nails. Now, I would have brought, if I was writing this tshuva, I would have brought a perfect parallel to this halacha from a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, not from this story of Rabbi Yochanan. In Shmini, we mentioned the Torah prohibits shvatzim. So we all have problems with little bugs in vegetables. You go to some of our stores, and that's all the mashkiach does all day. Literally, checks the lettuce, checks the vegetables. He does nothing else. There's very little in the store to do, and that's all he does. So what happens if you have, you're cooking something, you're eating something, but let's say cooking, and you see one of the bugs in the soup. Because the vegetables that you had, the broccoli, whatever else, some bug was there. They didn't check it thoroughly. So I've gotten this question many times. I see the bug, I take it out, but it was over the eish. Are you allowed to eat it or not? Are you allowed to eat the soup or not? So what would be your gut reaction? Of course you're not allowed to. Because the sherets, no, not much worse than miyus. It's mechalas asorus. It's noisein tam. Just as if I have something that is not kosher and I removed it. I had a non-kosher piece of meat, but it cooked. And then I took the piece of meat out. You don't eat that soup.
But it's way butel barov.
But okay, let's assume there were 20 bucks. It wasn't butel barov.
Not care possibly.
You had a small. Since when Carl is halacha determined by what could have happened? Reality. I'm just giving you the principle. What would you say? So the halacha is that shvatzim are not noisin tam. They don't give off any tam. So the be'en is asur, but the tam is mutter. So once you take the bug out, you're allowed to eat it. And the Shulchan Aruch does not say that that would be a violation of Baal Tishaktsu. Mm-hmm. Now that's much worse than nails. So if somebody asked me this question, and I hope they wouldn't ask me this. I have no idea. I looked high and low to find his thing.
Political standing.
Torah lishma.
It's got to be somebody recent.
Could be. But. I don't know where you learn it, but the Shulchan Aruch Mechaber quotes it. Very simply.
All shvatzim
are only usur be'en, no time, not tam. You didn't come across that in Chulin?
You brought it up, buddy. You're on your own. Where does he get the idea that nails have a ruach ra? Where is that?
That's all over Paiskim and everything else. It has an evil spirit. And that evil spirit is what gets the pregnant women to lose.
Does it say that in Shas or the post?
Yeah, no. Even the Gemara calls it.
Not here.
But what if you, after, is that don't you get rid of that spirit after Nagelvasi? Technically?
What?
But don't you technically get rid of that spirit Because that's why you're doing the negobas, to get rid of the...
Yeah,
the,
right. The that's food. True, but that's...
So,
yeah.
That, so isn't that... The
so, okay. So, I have no idea. I'm not an expert in Ruach Ra.
But there's one last thing here. That
let's move on.
Rabbi, the Mefarish here says something about Hamayra Litztaka, just two lines above. What does that mean? Yoreinu Hamayra Litztaka, the last line of the... That we didn't
read. Of the question in the first paragraph.
Oh, in the question? Yoreinu Hamora Litztaka. Right. What is the shin? I'm not sure.
What does that,
that means let the Rebbe who rules correctly. Bitztaka doesn't mean with charity. It means bitzedek. That, well, the teacher who teaches correctly, give us the right answer.
Because I'm going to say from Hashem.
Yeah. Anyway. If we now go to page 77b, on the next page, he will says, Garcina, Beperek Elu Medalchen, Hasorev Tziponaim Chassid, Kovron Tzadik, Zorko Russia, Shematavar Alein Isha Vitapil Adkan. The timer, the Kodem Shechata. Adam Harishon Haya Malbusho Tziporet. Before Adam Harishon, let me just see if I wrote it down.
No,
yeah, one second. But if you want to know who he quoted, because he quotes the Prisha. Let me just see who he's quoting here. Elio Rabba. That's it. Elio Rabba. Yes. So he writes, because before Chet Arishim, his garb was his tziporet. Ukishechata nispashet mimenu. When he ate from the Eitz Hadas, his garment was like removed from him. For lo nishar mimenu rat tzipornayim. Our nails were the only thing left from that particular garment. Umeachar shaha isha garma shenispashe hamalbush. And now that it was Chava who was responsible for what? For the removal of the garment. Ulekach mashenish armehem. Therefore, the nails, that which are left from that garb, yesh makom lehis anesh bo haisha. The woman is the one who will suffer the consequences, be punished as a result of the nail. Women are not found in the Beis Medrash. V'chitema, asks the Gemara. Zimnin demichnishi lehu, you'll gather them. Vishati luhu avro, you'll throw them outside. Answer the Gemara, kevon de ishtini ishtini, vishuv ein mazikin. They cannot cause any damage. The kosav haprisha. Prisha is a commentary on the Torah. Simon resh mem aleph. Mikan yesh heter lahashlich hatziponayin bebeis hamerchatz shirochatzim hoan sham. That you're allowed to in a Beis HaMerchatz, in a bathhouse, when you go there, you clip your nails as well. You're allowed to just chuck the nails, and there's nothing to worry about. They gather the nails and then dump them outside, that a woman's going to pass by. Gam yesh lumod, de imchotech bebeiso b'makom shenoshim shom shchiyach, that if you did clip your nails in your own house, in a place where women are found, v'nafal miyad tzas tziparnav, and some of the nails fell on the floor, azai, what you should do is, yichabed oso hamakom, you should clean that particular place immediately, o yinakesham, either you remove them or clean it, v'yazizam mimkomam, and move them from the place where they fell, then v'leslan ba, there's nothing to worry about. Ulanias dati, says the Eliyahu Rabbah, Efshar de Dafka Kishlichan chutz lecheder have a shinui makom. It's not just changing it from one place to the next place in the room. You have to exit the room. The chein mashma berif sham. Chamash. Yeah. The old kasav haprisha she'ein lito tziparne yadav v'raglav b'yom echad. You're not supposed to cut your hand, your fingers, and your toes, cut the nails on the same day. There's some kind of Kabbalistic. It's this origin is from the the head of the Chassidus.
Baal Shem Tov?
The Baal Shem. That was written by the Baal Shem Tov.
That's what they do by Mason, right?
What?
By Mason.
That's correct. By the Tahara. Yes.
This Malbusha Tziporin.
Yeah.
Is that to indicate that it was like a nail covering?
Yeah, that's what he believes. It was a nail covering.
I was thinking of that exoskeleton.
Yes.
I'm surprised he doesn't mention the thing of putting your nails to the flame. And what's he talking about that? Why do we do that? Was that something like
the order of when you put the fingers on your fingers?
I thought it was related to the same idea.
Is there any what's the story for alternating your fingers with the
No idea. Now the Mishnah Brura commenting on this halacha on page 77c. So he writes in this particular siman that you're supposed to take a bath, v'chitzas kol gufo, v'yadav v'raglav, and you're supposed to cut your nails be'erev Shabbos. So in Sivav, says the Mishnah Brura, u'biyom hei makpidin shelo liklad. We are makpid not to cut nails on Thursday.
They grow on Shabbos.
That's what he says. Mnei shahapet sipornayim maskilin lachzor ulitzmoach biyom gimel legilucha. They start growing again 3 days after they were cut, and therefore by shavim kain ein ze tikun kvod Shabbos shechozel lotzeis.
Because they're going to be growing on Shabbos?
Because there's no Issa for them to grow.
So what's his concern?
Because you're not going to be sloppy. You're going to look nice. You're not going to look nice. They're going to already grow. By the time the third day comes, you look slovenly. Yesh shekasvu shelo lakutz tziporneh hayadayim v'haraglayim b'yom echad. V'ein lakutz elo be'erev Shabbos o be'erev Yom Tov. So what's going to happen if you... What's his problem? How are you going to do both of these? You're going to, if you don't do both on Friday, that means one you're going to have to do on Thursday. Well, you just said don't cut them on Thursday because by Shabbos they'll be growing back. Well, how do you resolve this?
Wednesday and Friday.
Wednesday
and Friday. They'll
be growing, right?
But they'll certainly be growing by Shabbos.
It's not that they're growing on Shabbos. It's that they begin to grow on Shabbos when you cut them on Shabbos.
I know, so, but...
No, it's not what he said.
No, it means that you'll look... and therefore you'll look terrible. It's... And therefore you will look unseemly.
On the third day, they begin to grow.
Correct. So if you did it on the Wednesday, it's the fourth day, they certainly will be growing.
But they're seemingly, you're not seeing
it. I don't think it's mirrors. I think it's covered Shabbos. That it starts to grow, and you're causing something to happen on Shabbos.
Wait, you think it's a malacha issue?
It's something. It's something.
And it's obviously made up, because the nails mirrors start growing, they're growing all the time. So it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Well, that's what science might tell us. That's what the Gemara is saying.
So,
what?
The Hanacho, so the Mishnah Brura says, She yakuts min haraglayim biyom hei, u'min hayadayim biyom vav, he quotes the Magen Avraham. Forget about the Thursday business, but keep the what, not doing the hands and the feet the same day. Cut your toes on Thursday, and cut your fingers on Friday.
That, by the way, going with the rabbi, that makes more sense what the rabbi said. In terms of mias, so you don't see the feet. So the hand, because they're going to be growing. The third day, the toes will be growing.
It looks like you're wearing.
Yeah.
Okay. Either way, it's not very satisfying.
Yeah. Move on to page 54a. So, this is from Mishnah Halachos. This is from what's his name? Rav Sternberg is the Mishnah Halachos. So he's a very prolific writer, and he's written several volumes called Mishnah Halachos. So he will deal with a couple of issues. So let me just start. All about the nails issues. Yeah, go to, we'll start with 54B. There are three different pages. 54B.
Soon as this one that I wrote down.
Now he's going to start with a question that has nothing to do with our topic tonight, but his answer, 54B.
Oh. 54B. Oh, this page is...
There's no number on it.
The number is cut off.
Yes, after 54A.
It's after 54A comes 54.
54B is labeled. The page after A is not
54B, which it says, Shut Mishnah Halachos Chelek Yud Beis Simon Shin Ches. It's this page. Okay? The question has nothing to do with the shir. His answer is from our Gemara. Bidvar She'elaso. In mutar lilmol shiur odrasha le'anashim v'nashim bebeis hamedrash b'li mechitza bein hanashim le'anashim. Are you allowed to have a shir in a shul for both men and women without a mechitza? Rak she'elu yoshvin levad ve'elu yoshvin levad. There is a separate seating, but no mechitza. Ulefi sheyesh b'nei Torah toanim shelo huzkar b'shum makom. There is not any source she'asur lahagid shiur b'cheder sheyoshvin sham anashim v'nashim v'shomin ashiur. There's no source that says it's asur to give a shir for men and women. Doesn't say that. And therefore, he wants to know. And malus kvoy terasam, and you, the rabbi, amar lahem she'asur, that you're now allowed to give such a shir. Verotzim ladas mehechan, and they're asking me what might be the source of such a halacha. Question number two: makom she'osin chasana or chasanos, ve'enosin mechitza rak lirikudim. They put up a mechitza only for dancing. V'lo la'achila. It's mixed seating. We know those types of weddings. V'omrim de b'shas achila lo boy mechitza klal. Iyesh b'za heter o tzorach mechitza. Is there any heter for that? To have mixed seating for eating, but separate seating, separate dancing with a mechitza.
Mixed tables, or actually just men and women's tables without a mechitza?
No, he doesn't say that.
All right, okay.
Doesn't say. We don't know. So Ulafani Asdati Omer Al Rishon Rishon. I'm going to answer the first question first. Hine beinin limud shir o shirim becheder echad onashim v'anashim v'nashim. O lidrosh becheder echad, or to give a drasha echad anashim v'nashim, shetoanim she'ein loze isur. Omer ani, I say, afil l'shitasam, even according to their opinion, im lo seidu lecha hayafeh banashim tzu'ulach beikve hatzon. It's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And what does Rashi say? Im lo seidu Verei gidi eskidisicha al mishkenos haroim. Im lo seidu lecha kenisa yasi ve'edasi ayinafim banashim v'sharumos v'tinatzli miyad hamatzikim lecha lios beineim v'lo yovdu banecha hisbonini bedarkei avosecha harishonim shekiblu torasi v'shimru mishmarti u'mitzvosai. So this pasuk of tzi'ilach be'ikvei hatzon, that's a sefer which Rabbi Schechter, he's not quoting Rabbi Schechter. Rabbi Schechter named that his, because his book was based on maintaining Masora. Don't do anything to change the Masora, because that's the way Rashi says. Se'ilach be'ikvei hatzol. Just follow the sheep. What does a sheep do? He just follows everybody. He doesn't dart to the right or to the left. And that's the way you should do it as well. Just follow the old minhagim. Just follow the old. Now go to the next parable. Torah o musar o mashu afilu l'tinokas kitanim asu lahem chadorim lebanim levad ubanos levad. We all know that schools always had separate places for teaching, boys and girls. And this is not a chassidus or a chumra. Vafila b'mekomos shemeginim la'atzmam beganim, kindergarten, that where they are makel in kindergarten, that boys and girls together, liosam lachad, to be together. Hagam shigam loze yesh makpidim oid. There are some people in Eretz Yisrael who are very, very machmir on this too. Mikol mokom, miyad shimaschilim lumod imabonim Torah ukayotze bo mavdilin osam v'af milamed lo yimod becheder shiyesham paruvos bacharum ubasulos afilu yeshvu muvdalim v'ze afilu biktanim she'akati lo yodim tam isur v'iruurim. Certainly the kol shkein shelo shamanu v'lo ra'inu chas v'shalom the yeshivas, the Rashi yeshivas, sheyachnisu bachurim ubisulos becheder echad, veyitnu lahem shir, upashut im yase Rashi yeshiva davar kazeh, yachrimu also, they'll put him in cheirim, ki hu bichlal neores lepishtan. That is like a what? A fire for flax, va'abizrayu da'arayos. And it's a shmecht for Marias. Yeah.
Because they didn't teach the women anything.
Right. Then, he doesn't know that. Then he says, in the next paragraph, Chutz mizeh kvar tamati b'mokam acher, shebechlal mehechan lokhu heter kehayom, sheosim asufos minashim, umachnisim bebatei knisios afilu levadam b'li anashim. Where did they get a right to bring women into shul in the first place if there are no men? By themselves. Ulefias na anias dat hu bechlal chas v'sholom chilul beis haknesis u beis hamedrash. Ubebeis hamikdash hoysa ezras nashim biyuchedas lanashim ve'ezras anashim. The kama kirkurim kirkiru lahatir lahem likones laezis nashim biyomim noran. We had to go through all kinds of shenanigans to allow women to come to shul on Rosh Hashanah. Afilu bishah she'enim tahorim, even though they might still be in nida. Ayim shulchan aruch aruchayim simin peches sifal barama yesh shekasul kimavur bishulchan aruch barama. Ve'arachti bazev b'makom acher, the kol shkein shelo l'shem tefila. What are they doing in shul? Not for davening. Ula beis hakneses shala anashim, and to sit in the men's section. God forbid. And he brings the proof from our Gemara. Ubemayit katan amru amar Rav Shimon bar Abba have a kaim na kamedu Rav Yochanan b'chol shomod v'shaklinu l'tufrei b'shinei v'zorkinu shma mina klas. ושמע מן המוטל לזרחן ופרח איני והתניה שלושה דברים מהמציפורם הקורבן סדק סורפן חסד זרקן ראשו משני תאמה משמי שמה תעבר לנישה ותופרטישה באישה באמת ראשה לא שכיחה ואי מוטל לעשוס להם שיעורים ואסופוס if you're allowed to have שיעורים and gatherings עמי לא שכיחה. Why would Rabbi Yochanan go ahead and flip his nails in the base remedrash? Of course you can't do that. Of course you can't do
that. When was this written?
What?
When was this written?
In our generation. Modern time.
There's nothing about Isser. It says, well, that's what I said before.
But
Shchicha, they're just saying, that's not the way
it works. So why, if you have Shiurim in Shul, it is Shchicha.
No.
But not at the
time.
What?
Women just weren't because they were busy with other things.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean there was a when they didn't have time or they were for whatever reason. But there's no
bucket. He didn't say there's an Easter. He said it's minhag avoseinu, and the proof is that Rabbi Yochanan allowed you to throw your nails, and if he had suspected that women might be coming there, the Gemara would not have said it, since they allowed it. Must be the women never came into the base medrash. Yeah. In the next page, on page 26, he goes even wilder. Here he's going to be attacking any woman who comes to my Wednesday night shiur. What kind of business is this that the husband lets the woman come to a shiur? What, are they crazy?
She should be working.
No. She should be watching the kids at the house, and the husband should be going to the shiur. That's what he writes. And he proves it from our Gemara. And he writes, it's the fifth line, Bidavar she'elaso, shenit orer hit orerut gidola b'chazdei Hashem b'inyin shmiris haloshon. There's become an awareness today not to say Lashon Hara. That's great. Ubifrat etzel hanashim dabronios. And especially by women who like to talk a lot. Ve'osim harbe shiurim behilchos Lashon Hara bebatim ubebate knesios bemakom shinas ne'esafim sham imrav and v'nish'al. And the person asks, "Sheyesh nashim shebetoch kedei shmias hashiurim, heim orchim biplach v'sorgim b'masregot biyadeim." They're doing needlepoint or stitching. They're making a sweater in the middle. V'zeh eino mafriya lehem l'shmias hashir. That doesn't disturb them from what listening to the shir. U'misafkele iorich lemevet hachi, if it's appropriate. Kevan the ikur biyasamu lebeis hakneses l'shiurim l'shmoa shiurim divrei elim chayim I lo heveb ze bechlal kalus roish bebeis hakneses. If this is inappropriate activity to do needlework in a beit knesset, so now he writes upo ahuvi dinishon umiyu lo almasa yadea mini mispalei. I'm not worried about what the fact that she's doing her knitting. Ela al ikar ha'asifa. What's troubling me is the fact that people are coming. Udrisas ragleha, and the fact that she came to the shul. Ani mitpalei. Demi hitir lohem l'nashim lehit aseif v'beit hakneset shel anashim bichlal. V'ze zman rav she'ani me'od mistapek bozeh. Heif. Veloma heitiru likanes nashim bebeis hamedrash ubebatei knesis shel anashim ulechora kedushas beis hakneses gedoyla hi ve'ein la'asot sham kinusim acherim. We should not have any gatherings in a beit knesset ubefrat be'eretz Yisrael shelo nifnu altnai. So here he's operating on a Gemara in Megillah where the Gemara says that batei knesset or batei midrash shebabavel al tenai he masuyin. They are built with stipulations that other activities aside from davening can take place in the Beit Knesset. In Eretz Yisrael, There is no such Tanai associated with it. And in fact, Rishonim say, therefore, not because it looks like Chukoseim Lo Soleichu, it's imitating the church. You're not allowed to have a wedding in a shul. Why? Because the Beit Knesset is reserved only for tefillah. Rishonim asked the question, how are you allowed to have a bris in a shul? Bris is not, it's not tefillah, and the only heter which they give is tircha de tzibura. Because since the bris is after davening, if they're going to have to go to the kid or to a hall, that's going to take a lot of people's time, since they're here anyhow, so they will matir a bris in a Beit Knesset only mishum tircha de tzibura. So, how are you going ahead and having this learning in the shul in any event for women?
Rabbi, when you say Tanai, who's Tanai?
The person who built either the... It's a machlokes. Either the people who build the shul or Tanai Bez... Right. The Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir. The seven religious members of the council. Yes. Yeah. And... our Gemara says, or the Gemara quotes the same Gemara. Amar Hashemal Bava goes through the whole thing, and he says, from here, you see that Rabbi Yochanan never expected women to come to shul. So what are they coming to shul for? And then he writes, Vahatash Beitz, in the next bracket of things, Shimon Sinsha design, Kasa, Binashim Shahayu Noagim Likones Leo Sandik. Women came into the main men's shul to be a sandik. Vafilu imbala mohel o ovia o bina. Even if the father was there, the husband was there, a child, the lav urcha de isha likones mikushetes beinho ashishim b'pifnei ashchina. It's not nice for what? For women who's all dressed up, all ungepatchket, to do what? To come in to the Beit Knesset in front of men and in front of the Shechina. And he's worried about this like crazy, and he goes nuts for having this, but apparently women were the subject. That's the historical piece of information. He may have complained about it, but apparently there was such a practice. There was such a practice.
Watching the kids is on the bottom.
And then, yeah, that's the bottom. Look at the bottom. Vahashlishis. Vahu ha'ikar. The chutz mikolzeh, masha'ein dati noche shahanashim yotz'os l'shiurim, umanichim hayelodim bebeisam, beli hashgacha, nobody watching them, o shitzrichim likach shomer, or they have to hire a babysitter, eze yalda ulishalem, and to pay her, how do we know how this girl is going to be a babysitter? Maybe we need a babysitter for the babysitter. Olaf amim shiyeshev habal imayaladim, or the husband Rachmana Litzlan is left to the babysitter. Instead of him going to learn. Sha'alav yesh chiyuv u'mitzvas asei l'umod holech as he. She's going to the shir. V'hu nish'ar liyos shomer hayiladim v'naha pochu. And this is exactly the opposite of what should be happening. Why? Shahatora nitna lo isha liyos lo ezer. And it's to help her. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a wife. Lihi tapel im hayeladim. I want everybody to go home and learn this with your wife tonight. Im hayeladim. Sheyuchal habal, so that the husband leilecholum atayra nasahu hashem yeladim velokeach es mitzvasa. What a terrible thing, right? So he is going wild.
How do we answer that from the Gemara?
Because things have changed.
So that's what his answer is. Okay.
He doesn't know. He doesn't. He says it's awesome.
No, I'm saying so. Our answer is that things have changed.
Our answer.
Why the Gemara lies?
No, the Gemara didn't allow. The Gemara didn't prohibit it.
No, but it, obviously it was at the minhag for it to happen.
Life has changed.
That's okay. Absolutely.
That's what.
Well, it's changed for them too, because now the women go to work and someone else watches the kids.
That's correct.
So it's changed for that. That's okay.
Right? No, he wouldn't say that's okay either. He would not say that it's okay. So he uses this our Gemara to establish halachic decisions about women coming to shiurim, women coming to the shul, and I just wanted to show you how
would
far.
Would he end up by weddings? I imagine the same way.
What?
Would he end up by weddings?
Of course, that it's us, sir. You have to have separate seating for eating too. Of course, with a mechitza. Of course. Even though I've seen pictures of Rabbi Moshe's weddings, which he made for Rabbi Tendler and Mrs. Tendler, his daughter. There was mixed seating at the wedding. Mixed seating at the wedding.
Rabbi Moshe's
wedding, yes. And I'll tell you something else. His wife did not wear a shetel at the wedding. She had a bun. Somebody showed me this picture. Nachum Twersky, who was a cousin to Rabbi Moshe. And she had a little net, one of these nets, which she wore on her head and on top of the bun. That was it, what she wore at the wedding. It was in 1949, when Rabbi Tendler got married.
All the old pictures of all the dinners in Brooklyn were all mixed.
Not one was separate seating. Not one. I told you in Mr. Gruss, one of my comments, there was mixed seating the entire thing. Rabbi Isha sat mixed seating, the Rav sat mixed seating.
They do husband, husband, wife, husband.
No,
husband,
no, yeah. They sat next to their wives. Next to their wives. Yeah, but that's what he says.
Okay.
All right, stop here. Next week we'll have a Pesach Shir, and then after Yom Tov we resume again for.